This is Up the Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. We head up the road this week to Mariposa, at the southern end of California's famous Motherlode, where John C. and Jesse Fremont once called home some 70 square miles of Sierra Nevada foothills outside Yosemite, the former Las Mariposas Spanish land grant of Juan Bautista Alvarado. Las Mariposas happened to include a thick 5-mile vein of gold-laced quartz that produced hundreds of pounds of placer gold every month. The Fremonts were loaded. Yet controversy and drama dogged John C. Fremont throughout his life. His incursions on behalf of Manifest Destiny, the belief that Americans had a divine right to possess the entire continent, his unprovoked attacks on Indians, his instigation of the Bear Flag Revolt and Mexican-American War, his strange court-martial. And that was before most of his military career. More drama at Las Mariposas, soon overrun by squatters, mostly miners with contested mining claims. The U.S. Supreme Court eventually backed Fremont. The smartest thing John C. Fremont ever did was marry Jessie Benton. She was politically savvy, where he was impetuous, and came by it naturally as the daughter of expansionist Senator Thomas Hart Benton of Missouri. Her very engaging writings launched Fremont as a popular public figure. She greatly expanded and improved his otherwise thin expedition reports, which were then published in the tabloids of the day, encouraging Western settlement. And her work supported him at the end, when the wealth was gone. Here is a taste of her storytelling from My Grizzly Bear in Motherlode Narratives. We join this particular narrative as the Fremonts, their daughter, and companions on a sightseeing outing near home hear a rough, low bark, broader and rougher even than that of a bulldog, quite close. I never question any acts of some few people, but I was surprised and not too pleased to find myself hurried back down the steep, stony peak with only, "It is too late to finish the climb. We must hurry. Do not speak. Keep all your breath for walking." And hurry we did. I was fairly lifted along. Mr. Burke had disappeared and was now with Lee, bringing the horses to meet us. I had been seriously ill not long before and could not understand why I was so roughly hauled along. There was reason enough. It was no dog, but a grizzly bear that made that warning bark, and we were very close to it. My ignorance spared me the shock of this knowledge, but the practiced mountain men knew it was not only a bear, but a she-bear with cubs. They knew she would not be likely to leave her cubs at that hour when they were settling for the night, unless we came nearer or irritated her by talking and noises. Very quickly, our bright drawing room filled with eager men, gun in hand. Armed men rode down the glen intent on that bear, first coming to get all information of the exact locality, then to ride and raise the countryside for a general turnout against it. For everyone had kept from the madam the fact that a she-bear had been prowling about for some time, seeking what she could devour, and that she had devoured some and mangled more of Quigley's hogs, Quigley having very fine and profitable hogs at a small ranch 3 miles from us. But the grizzly had disappeared and was, I am told, the last ever known in that valley, which still has a postmark for the town, Bear Valley. For a few photos and the fuller story, and it's sad, even shocking, go to mynspr.org. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road and North State Public Radio.